Welcome to The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. We begin in Ohio, and Ohio is a nation unto itself in these last critical weeks in the presidential election campaign. Ohio has an improving economy, but a divided electorate, a Republican-controlled state house and legislature, and Democratic momentum for Barack Obama. It's one of the most sharply divided states in the nation geographically, with the very union-oriented declining Northeast around Cleveland and the Great Lakes, the solid manufacturing sector in the South, the conservative evangelical western border with Kentucky, and the rural communities over near West Virginia. Our good friend Dan Damon, host of the BBC's World Update, normally needs a passport to visit us here in the USA, but this week in Ohio, where he's broadcasting from, he almost needed a separate passport for the distinctly frenzied Buckeye State. And he joins us from the studios of WCPN in Cleveland. Dan, welcome back.
John, great to talk to you. How are you?
Doing great. It sounds to me like you're witnessing a little bit of distancing by some Republican leaders there in Ohio from the controversial comments that Mitt Romney made this week. What are you seeing?
Indeed, because here, of course, there is a very important race. Really, the Romney campaign has to win this. And a lot of those who are acting on his behalf, who are manning the phone banks, you know, they are, I guess, in the 47% because they're either retirees or they're on some kind of support. So, yeah, this hasn't gone down all that well. Of course, you won't hear disloyal comments really from Republicans here, but you can get the kind of comment that I got from Ohio Governor John Kasich. You know, he said that the reason that this had become such a big issue is because of the way politics are done these days, because everybody is watching you.
It is a different environment with 24/7 news cycle, with Twitter, with Facebook, with YouTube. You know, we got to get over some of this, or we're going to paralyze people's ability to say anything. And that doesn't mean what he said that I would agree with, the way he said it. And I bet he doesn't even agree. He wish he could take the words back.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Of course, Mitt Romney understands it's a 24/7 news cycle. He understands Twitter and Facebook. John Kasich doing damage control there for Mitt Romney. And you're witnessing it there, Dan Damon.
Well, indeed. And Governor Kasich has his own reason to be aware of this, because he told me he'd had some words that he wished he could have taken back a couple of years ago. He was caught on camera calling a policeman who pulled him over an idiot several times. He said, I had several months of blowback on that. So indeed, it has been a problem. Now, I've been out with those who are campaigning on behalf of Mitt Romney and the Republican ticket here. Of course, they're not going to show disloyalty. They think that they can win this. But on the other hand, they do understand that there are some issues here with jobs, with the way that the society here is divided, that is going to cause them some problems. Governor Kasich also came on like a train when he was elected, saying that he was going to battle the unions, get on the bus or get under the bus, he said. Well, he's changed because he's realized, at least in Ohio, you can't do politics that way. This is what he told me.
We're going to disagree on budgets and we're going to disagree on taxes, but there's a billion other things that we can agree on. Look for areas where you can agree. You know what? It's so much more fun to be working with somebody than you know, gnashing teeth. And it's life's too short for that. And throughout my history, I've done a lot with people in the other party. But you know what? I fought with them, too, but always with a smile on my face.
Ohio Governor John Kasich there speaking with my guest, Dan Damon, of the BBC's World Update program. Dan, what you're hearing there is the key sort of crux of what's going on in Ohio, a Republican governor trying to take credit for an improving economy that Barack Obama is likely to benefit from in this state.
Well, the way the polls show that, certainly. And in the South, as you said, the employment situation is much better there. I went to the Toyota plant just over the border in Kentucky. I went to GE Aviation, where they're building jet engines. And there certainly are plenty of jobs there. Indeed, the problem in the South is finding the people to fill them. There were, in the Cincinnati area alone, 10,000 jobs that were vacant simply because they don't have the skills. I went to a community college where they're training young people, telling them you don't have to go to college for 4 years and get a degree in something that might not get you a job. Go and be an apprentice. Learn how to bash metal. Learn how to turn the kind of tools that you need to build cars and planes. And that's what they're trying to do.
You know, Dan, you've always had a reputation as a fearless journalist. You know it. I know it. But you really went behind enemy lines in Cuyahoga County. Very much a Democratic stronghold there outside of Cleveland, but you met with the Cuyahoga County Republican chairman.
That's Robert Frost, who was, I'm sure, one of those moderate Republicans that is trying to get across the idea that the 47% really wasn't the kind of comment that Mitt Romney meant to make. Again, of course, he wasn't going to admit that to me, at least on tape. But one of the things that he did say is the way that the super PACs have affected the race hasn't been all that comfortable for him. I was surprised at that. You kind of think that with all that money coming in from the billionaires, the Republicans would be rubbing their hands in glee. They certainly need money to get the lawn signs out and all of that. But no, Rob Frost said that the way that the super PACs are operating in Cuyahoga County anyway isn't an unalloyed joy.
Unfortunately, it's what the very strange campaign finance regulation structure we have has begotten, that this is how the money flows these days. What is difficult for us as a county party organization is we're not able to coordinate with those super PACs. They do their own thing. They have their own message. We may not even like it sometimes when they're trying to help our side. They're also trying to recruit the same volunteers as we are. Now, we're doing well, as you've seen here today, so we've got our phone banks filled. We've got people out knocking on doors every day of the week. But that is a struggle, is that these super PACs are competing for those same volunteers. We appreciate what they're doing in this environment, since this is the way it works, since we see, you know, it was MoveOn.org that showed how this was going to be done when it came to private unreported money trying to steal an election. That was George Soros showing everyone how it's done. I'm glad some conservatives are willing to do it.
And he was backing Obama, of course.
And backing Obama. But what we need to do is get to a campaign finance structure that actually makes sense, which is no limits and full reporting. And, you know, let people see where the money's coming from instead of this, which is just screwy.
Cuyahoga County Republican Chairman Bob Frost there. I suspect he may have been a little more candid speaking with reporters from the BBC than he might have been with some domestic reporters there in Ohio. It's also the case that the television affiliates have most of their ads bought. They're doing very, very well in this environment. Citizens United has been very, very good to the media there in Ohio. Dan Damon, have a great time in the swing states.
Thanks very much indeed, John. Indeed, the money part, you know, we who come here as outside observers, that's the bit that we really find the most shocking. $100 million spent so far, and there are another 7 weeks to go. Fantastic.
Dan Damon, host of the BBC's World Update program, reporting from the swing state of Ohio, up there in the community of Cleveland, Ohio. As Ohio swings presidentially, so does it rock in its Senate race. We're going to check in with our own Todd Zwillick on the Ohio Senate race and some other contests around the nation. Now, Todd, we spoke about some of these races last week, but in just a week, we're seeing movement in Ohio and elsewhere. Do tell.
The map has shifted, John, and it's shifted decidedly across the country. And let's start in Ohio. And Dan is right, and I want to add to what he said. The story in Ohio between incumbent Sherrod Brown and state treasurer Josh Mandel is money, is outside money. $18 million spent on Mandel's behalf, 7,300 ads he's run himself, but 6,900 ads from Crossroads GPS. That's Karl Rove. Sherrod Brown himself has run only 5,600 ads. That's according to Cantor Media. $18 million, and it is really the story of this race. Now, Sherrod Brown still up by 8 points. You might argue that he would have been up by 12 if not for all of the outside money, because he's an incumbent and he's well known. However, let's take it nationally now. Ohio was one of those states that Republicans were desperate, in fact, licking their chops to pick off from Republicans. Sherrod Brown was vulnerable. He's still up by 8, and Ohio, in terms of the Senate, is blue. And since we talked last week, John, about Senate races, the blue wave has been spreading across these races that Senate Republicans really thought they were going to be able to pick off from Democrats. And they're really starting to get discouraged here in Washington, the strategists. Let's look at, we have to look at Missouri, which we talked about last week.
Really, that's dramatic race.
It is. And that's Claire McCaskill versus Todd Akin. Everybody remembers Congressman Todd Akin and the comments that he made. Now, just a couple of days from now is the deadline when Todd Akin can legally get out of the race. They have given up here in Washington trying to get him out. Republican strategists telling me just yesterday, John, they are resigned to the fact that Todd Akin is staying in. They're resigned to the fact that it probably means they're going to lose Missouri. And perhaps, the strategist said, their bid to take over the Senate. That's serious. And
wow.
Here's why. Yeah, and here's why. They needed four to take control of the Senate to get to that magical 51 number. When you look at Ohio, which they're probably not going to win, then you look at Missouri, then you look at Virginia, which has former Governor Tim Kaine up by, around 4 points now of a lead over former Governor and Senator George Allen. You start to say these opportunities for pickups are getting thinner and thinner for Republicans. Add on to that a couple of states where Republicans are defending where it looks like they could lose, not definitely by any means. That's Massachusetts, where Scott Brown debated Elizabeth Warren just last night.
Any buzz on that? Any buzz on that debate?
It seems like it was a toss-up. I mean, I'm not prepared to say who won or who didn't. There was some drama here in Washington about whether Scott Brown would actually fly back for the debate. He did, and it took place, and there will be others to follow. The other one is Maine, with independent Angus King. He still has a lead, but it's withering. He's still up 8 points. He could still win that. But the point is, if Republicans lose those two seats, then their bid to take over the Senate, because they're starting to lose ground in these other opportunities to pick up, start to look less and less likely for him. So what Republicans have done with their strategy now is had to sort of retreat back to the barricades, to places like Montana, which is now one of their most opportune pickup opportunities. That's incumbent John Tester, the Democrat, against Denny Rehberg. He's a congressman. And that is a real pickup opportunity. That state, Montana, John, is still an absolute dead heat, and the money is pouring in. The National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is the campaign arm of the Senate Republicans, has poured $3 million into Montana. And while that doesn't sound like a lot compared to the $18 million in Ohio, imagine how far $3 million goes in the Montana media market.
It's a gigantic ad buy in that market, and it really just indicates that they are completely all in there, the Republicans in Montana. All right, let's review the bidding for a moment, because you've really seen, as we heard from Dan Damon there, John Kasich trying to do some damage control for Mitt Romney on the 47% issue. You're starting to hear the same kind of thing from Republicans in Virginia, a state that you're on your way to do some reporting on. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
And what about Wisconsin? Here, the Wisconsin race seems to me much closer than Republicans might have expected, given all of the state politics that seems to have benefited Republicans over the last year and a half.
Another opportunity for a Republican pickup that may be starting to dwindle. That's Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat, running against former Governor Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson has slipped in the polls drastically. There's a debate about how drastically recently, but he has slipped, and he described to a local television station himself why he thinks he's slipping. Listen.
The presidential thing is bound to have an impact on every election. You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, if you're a standard bearer for the presidency is not doing well, it's going to reflect on the down ballot.
Wow. Not coattails for Mitt Romney, more like poison ivy.
Pretty frank response from former Governor Tommy Thompson, and trying to jump off whatever coattails Mitt Romney might have in Wisconsin. That's a pretty serious statement coming from a former governor and senatorial candidate about their guy at the top of the ticket.
All right, to Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent. As we said, he'll be on his way to Virginia reporting on some of these ground swing state Senate races and swing state contests. Thank you much, Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.